your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfire, singing your name. God of mercy.
Good morning, Home Church. My name is Michael Metzger, and I'd like to welcome you to our weekly podcast. We have just a few announcements before we get into our time of giving and worship this morning. First of all, sometimes with everything that's been going on lately, we miss some important things. And we first want to congratulate Pastor Carlos and his beautiful wife, Ricky, as they celebrated their 15-year anniversary on May 21st. Pastor, Ricky, we are so blessed to have you leading our church. I am blessed to call you family. You're a couple who puts God first in all that you do, and you truly epitomize the Bible's definition of marriage, and you're an inspirational example to all of us. We love you guys. Next, Pastor Barb is preparing to take a well-earned vacation here shortly. But we want to take this time to wish Pastor Barb an early birthday. So, Miss Barb, happy birthday. Thank you for all that you do here at the church. We just want you to know that you are loved and appreciated. We also want to remind you that the church offices will remain closed until July the 6th. The church board has decided to set an aspirational goal to open the church doors for Sunday services on July the 5th. During our discussion, the board decided that this will give us the proper amount of time that we need to prepare our church and make sure that we can open our doors safely. And we've also been praying that the restrictions will change by then, and then that will allow us to have more than 50 people in the building at a time. So just please keep in mind that this is tentative, and we just ask that you be in prayer with us on that. Until then, we will continue to have our church online through our podcasts. All of our services are going to be available from our church website, www.homechurchnv.org or www.homechurchnv.podbean.com. We just want to let you know that we are going to be celebrating Father's Day with another drive-in service. This is going to be on Sunday, June 21st. We had such a great time at our Mother's Day drive-in service, and we are encouraging everybody to get out and join us again in 2 weeks. For those of you who won't be able to attend the drive-in, please know that we are going to make that service available on the podcast as well. Just a quick reminder for all of the teens that this Wednesday night is going to be our weekly youth group meeting on Zoom. Please make sure that you join us at 7 p.m. this Wednesday night. We will be sending out an email with the Zoom link. We will also be having our weekly prayer meeting on Zoom tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. It's been such a blessing to gather weekly to lift up our needs before God and to also just get together and share our praises of the many answered prayers that we have seen. And we would love for you to join us. So set a reminder for tomorrow night, Monday night at 9 p.m. And again, we'll be sending an email with the Zoom link, so please keep an eye out for that and make sure to join us. And lastly, I would like to update all of you on our pastoral search. Yesterday, our district superintendent, Reverend Steve Scott, and our church board formally interviewed Pastor Carlos for the lead pastor position here at Home Church. And we, the church board, through a unanimous vote, are so excited to nominate Carlos to be the lead pastor for our church. We are submitting Carlos's nomination for a congregational vote. Our expectation is to make our second formal announcement next Sunday, June 14th, and to have all of the ballots completed and returned no later than Sunday, June 21st. The details of the voting are going to be shared both via email and regular mail in the next couple of days. Church, we're now ready to move into our time of giving and worship. And we just want to stop again and say thank you for your obedience and for your faithfulness in your tithes and offerings. We ask that you please continue to give your tithes online or by dropping a check in the mail. If you aren't able to give either online or by mail, please reach out to myself or another board or staff member. We want to make arrangements to make sure that your tithe or offering is received to honor God and to keep supporting his work here at Home Church. If you will bow your heads with me as we take this time to pray over our offering and our service. Lord God, we humbly come to you this morning and present you with our tithes and offerings. Lord, these are our first fruits of the blessings that you have provided us with. Father, as we show you our obedience, we just ask that you bless these offerings and multiply them to further the work of your kingdom. Father God, we also ask you to bless this time of worship. Let this time tear down any walls that we may have built throughout the week, Lord. And Father, we welcome you into our places of worship, into our own home churches this morning. We just ask, Lord, that you fill us with peace and with joy as we sing out your praises. And Lord God, as we listen to your message this morning, we just ask, Father God, stir us, speak to us, remind us of the mission that you have for each and every single one of us, the mission to share the gospel and to make Christ-like disciples. Heavenly Father, we pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Mike. Well, I hope that you all are doing well, that you guys are getting excited for what God is doing, not only in our church, but in our lives and all that he's going to do. And I just ask that you would engage your hearts this morning and your minds, your soul, your spirits in worship as we acknowledge our King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Praises rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you and hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you, 'cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God. Make us new. find strength to face today. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Sing it out. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. We welcome you here, Lord. Hallelujah. You are worthy to be praised. Spoke a word, you were speaking over me, and you have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, and all it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love, God. Your fault, still your love far from me. And you have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, and all it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99, and I couldn't. Away, and all the overwhelming. down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no lie you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Worship you today. We proclaim you as King, Lord. We thank you for your presence, your anointing, God. We ask your blessing, Lord, upon your word, upon our pastor, as he brings your word, God. We give you thanks. We give this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, Home Church of the Nazarene. How is everyone doing this morning? I just want to let you know again, I miss you all. I cannot wait for the Father's Day drive-in service, and I can't wait also for us to open up the doors to the church and see you all again. this morning, we're going to be on a new path, a new trail for the next few weeks. I have a new series. I've titled the series, Family. One word, family. Amen. I came across a little quote by Jonathan Edwards. It reads, every Christian family ought to be as it were a little church. This stands to be so true right now, as we've been in our homes having church, and our living rooms, maybe even our car, our workplace, and so I want to start the series and use Matthew 12:25, if you can turn there. Matthew 12:25. This is just the foundation of the series. I'm not really going to be digging deep into this scripture as I am just going to be using it. Jesus here is dealing with some divisive people. He's dealing with some people who are divisive. And so in verse 25, it says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, again, Matthew 12:25, turn there with me, if you could please. And it reads, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. What a profound and timely scripture this is right here. I want to talk about our families. I want to talk about the families this morning, because our families, you could see it on the news, you can read it in an article, our families are falling apart. And this morning, I'm going to be doing something a little different, so bear with me. It's not going to be your regular family series this morning. It's going to be just a little different. There's a show called The Family Feud. Some of you might know, remember when Richard Dawson did it years ago, and now we have Steve Harvey, Family Feud, where families will come together and compete. And, you know, you got families, you'll have like the, you know, the Allens and the Gavikas, you know, maybe the Metzgers and the Stoikoffs, the Sherwoods against the Regises, or the Del Soldados against the Claytons. Now, that would be a good one right there. The Millums against the Cromies. To see who can get the most answers, who can get the most points, what family can score the most points, or the Swanson against the Adams family, no pun intended. But it's all fun and games. But the reality is, when it comes down to families being divided, families feuding, families fighting, it's not the McDaniels against the Matthews. Okay, it's the McDaniels against the McDaniels. That's where it is. If truth be told, it's the McDaniels against the McDaniels. And no, the McDaniels are not fighting. So before there's a rumor start, let me say the McDaniels are doing just fine, okay? The McDaniels are doing just fine. But do you get my point? The fight is internal. The fight is inside. So I want to talk about none other than the family. And when I talk about the family, I want to talk about the first family. And first family here we have recorded in the Bible. But before we go there, here's one of the rules of biblical interpretation for the students of the scripture who, obviously, I'm sure you already know this, but one of the rules, if you want to know God's heart about something, you go to the scripture where God first mentions that topic, and that is called the law of first mention. He'll give you some insight. If you want to know about something, you go to the law first mentioned when he first talks about it. And again, I want to talk about families because our families are under attack. Amen? Amen. So I have some points this morning, and I normally don't do this. I normally don't put out my points ahead of time, but I'm going to do this time. That way you can just prepare yourself. I want you to write down three words maybe in your phone, tablet, on your in a notebook. Three words. The first word is singles. Singles. Yes, I said it. Single people are just a part of the family as everybody else. Singles. Second word is going to be spouses. Spouses. Third word, seeds. So we got singles, spouses, and seeds. Because in the first four chapters of Genesis that we're going to be looking at here, God has something to say about each of these. So if you could turn with me, Genesis chapter 2. That's the very first book in the Bible. If you're new to the faith, no worries. Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 8 and 9. Amen. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So first things first, I want to look at God putting a single person in the garden. And that's important to look at because God was beginning to make provisions for a single person as a family unit. Sometimes people think they have to be married to be a part of a family, but in the eyes of God, single people are just a part of God's family as anyone else. In the garden, Adam has everything he needs. He has a relationship with God. He walks with God. He communes with God. He has food. He has water. Now, why is that important? It's important because if you're single and you have not learned to be content and happy with just you and God, being is not going to make you happy. God never intended for you to look for happiness in another human being. Some of the singles can testify to this. When your relationship with God is so tight and you're walking with God, you're talking with God, and he's communicating with you, and you're communicating with him, and he's speaking to you, and he's moving on your behalf, and he's fighting your battles, and you don't even have to do anything but to step in the room, and he's there, and he's watching over you, right? He's you're intimate with the Father. That's where it should be, you know. And if you're experiencing that, what a wonderful place to be in. Matter of fact, I am so convinced that your walk with God should be so tight, God has to pry you away from that in order for you to get married to somebody. But the world has twisted it, allowing you to think that you won't be happy unless you're with someone. So here's a single man with everything he needed at that time. At that time. Verse 15 says something very interesting. Let's go to verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. God gave Adam, this single man, this single person, he gave him an assignment. And his assignment was to what? Tend and keep the garden. The word tend means to work. The word keep means to protect. He gave him a job to not only work as a single man, but to protect the garden. So, single ladies, if you're looking for a man, single men, if you're looking for a lady, does he or she have a job? And what is he or she guarding or protecting? Because part of my job as a husband is to protect my wife. Part of my job as a husband is to protect my family. Adam, not only also he had an assignment, but he had boundaries. Look at verse number 16, the next verse. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. God has given him a boundary. You can eat all of these trees, but this one tree you cannot touch. And that boundary is not only for single people, but for married people, for children, for uncles and aunts. Right? We need boundaries. If we want God's favor in our life, we need to obey and respect those boundaries. But we live in a culture where people don't want boundaries. They don't like boundaries. They don't want restrictions. They don't want to be told what to do. So they'll march for the right to do what they want to do. But here, right here in Scripture, we have boundaries. Again, to all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies, and men, if he or she can't respect boundaries before you get married, what makes you think they're going to respect boundaries after you get married? When God sees your life better exemplifies and gives him glory, and you're walking with him, and you're now in a maybe a couple partnership with somebody, then he'll bring you what you call, you can write this down, companion. He will bring you a companion. Oh, thank God for companions. Amen. You know, I wanted a companion when I was 13 years old, and man, I was not ready. And then I hit 17, and I wanted a companion, and me and Ricky started dating at 18, but I'm going to tell you right now, I wasn't ready then either, and Ricky says amen. God's timing is the best timing. Amen? Amen. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone, and I will second that. Amen. I will make him a helper comparable to him, a helper comparable to him. And that's when God created Eve. Some people misquote this verse, the word alone. They have the wrong interpretation of this word alone. In the Hebrew, this word alone, in the Hebrew, it's not just meaning being by yourself or being lonesome. What it means is it's not good, it's not healthy for you to be a chief of a city by yourself. It's not good for him to have all the responsibilities, all the stuff that God has given him by himself. And what a wonderful thing that is. I've realized since the day I was married, I'm better with my wife than I am without her. She brings stuff to the table that I don't bring. Amen? And Ricky just said another amen. So again, you might have some family issues as a single person, about your assignment. If you don't understand boundaries, and you connect with a companion that God didn't design for you to have at this time. So single people, that's in love. Single people, that is for you. Amen. Genesis chapter 3. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. I want to now talk about point 2, and this is now for the spouses. Somebody say spouses. Spouses. Amen. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Stop right there. Here's where you're going to have some family issues as a couple, spouses. It's when one of the spouses, one of the husband or wife, is listening to an unauthorized voice. An ungodly voice. Eve right here, she's talking, she's dialoguing with Satan. She's listening to an unauthorized voice who is questioning God's command. Questioning what God has spoken to her husband. You know, today, some spouses are listening to the same voices, so-called friends, and going to people they don't need to be going to, talking about their relationship. Getting answers, getting recommendations from people who might not be the best to talk to. What does Adam do? Does Adam protect his wife? Verse 6, she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The devil is talking to Eve, and Adam is standing right there. So here Eve is listening to unauthorized voices, okay? Ungodly voices. But now Adam has abandoned his responsibilities. That God gave him to protect. She's listening to unauthorized voices, and he's abandoning his responsibility to take care and protect. Instead of him taking a stand and warning her, he participated with her. He ate of the tree, and that's a problem right there. Here's what he should have done. When he saw her reaching for the fruit, he should have said, honey, I don't know what they said back in those days. Honey pie, sweetie pie, Eve, the first, what are you doing? Don't go there. Hey, we need to talk right now. Don't do it. Now, when this is happening in the modern day family, this creates problems and issues. Let's go to verse number 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves coverings. Verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, uh-oh. God didn't say, uh-oh. I just paused right there because can you imagine being Adam? It says right here, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Now, this is where Adam really messed up. Because now, look at Adam's next verse. Instead of Adam taking responsibility, look what Adam says right here. Then the man said, God, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree and she gave me of the tree and I ate. Let's just say Adam was sleeping in the doghouse for months, if not years, after that right there. He tried to blame her. when really it was his responsibility to protect her and be the man of God that he was called to be. What he should have done is made an appeal. What Adam should have done was said, Eve, whoa, wait, Eve, let's talk. Eve, remember, Eve. But if Eve would have chose to do it instead and went ahead and did it anyways, as some spouses choose to do today, you missed a good spot to say amen, church. If Eve would have done it anyways, if Adam would have pleaded with her, Eve, what are you doing? Eve, no, we can't. Adam, Eve, I'm supposed to protect you. Remember, and if Eve would have done it anyways, Adam could have. Adam should have said, oh no, Eve, do you know what you have done? Well, Eve, you have violated God's command. Eve, you're going to die. You're going to die, Eve. That's what he should have done. And when he heard the voice of God walking in the cool of the day, when God asked him the question, what has happened here, Adam? Adam should have said, God, she did it, God. She did it. I try to tell her. I try to warn her. She did it anyways. I try to make an appeal to her. But she did it anyways. And I know she's supposed to die, God. I know she's supposed to die. And what Adam should have said, God, I love her so much. I care for her so much. I've been protecting her so much. I know she's supposed to die. But don't kill her. Let me die in her place. Let me die in her place. And what the first Adam failed to do, the second Adam did what the first Adam should have done. And I thank God every day that Jesus Christ came and died and took my place. As they hung him high and they stretched him wide and they crucified him. I'm going to tell you right now, there are people listening right now who needs to know that God has died in your place. He took the punishment that you and I should have got. And we call him the second Adam because he did what the first Adam failed to do. For his bride. To love. To protect. Point number three. Seeds. Seeds. Offspring. Our children. Because of Adam and Eve's disobedience, now their children are experiencing family issues, family drama. How many of you know our offspring, our children, are important to God? Genesis chapter 4. If you turn there with me, Genesis chapter 4, as we get ready to close here pretty soon. Genesis chapter 4. Verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I acquired a And she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord God said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Here, God is talking here with one of the children. Verse 8, "Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him." Now, I don't know about you, but that's a family feud right there. That's a family problem. I want to talk about how the enemy, how Satan, okay, not a little guy with a pitchfork and little horns, the real enemy, how he seeks to kill and destroy your seed. The devil wants to destroy our children. He wants to get them on the wrong track. And our assignment as parents, as grandparents, as uncles, aunts, teachers, people who come to this church, who I know my children look up to, who don't have any children, our assignment is to guard them, to watch over them, to help them, to guide them, so this world won't deceive them and trick them into believing their agenda. The devil knows that your children represent God, and that's a threat. That's a threat to his kingdom, because when our children become what God wants them to be, they will defeat the enemy. My prayer has been, God, raise up a generation. Raise up a Daniel. Raise up a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Raise up children who are tired of the lies, tired of the hypocrisy, and want to stand for truth. Women and men, children, boys and girls, standing, becoming mighty warriors of God. And that's why it's our job to help prepare them and equip them. Again, the devil wants to kill them and destroy them. He wants to bring destruction to their lives. And sometimes the destruction is not only on the outside of the family, but sometimes the destruction is inside the family. And in this case, is destroyed in the hands of his own brother. It wasn't a stranger. It was someone he knew. It wasn't a so-called friend. Cain killed Abel. Why did Cain kill Abel? because Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's wasn't? Why was Abel's offering accepted and Cain's not? In verse 3, it says, Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. The key word right here is offering. See, the word offering in the Hebrew means leftovers. Here's what many kids are missing in the society that we're living in. You got to ask yourself, while I watch the news and when I speak to the teenagers of this day, you got to ask yourself, do the parents know Jesus? Or what are they being taught? What is really going on in their minds? You got to ask yourself, are their parents showing their kids to give God their whole being, or their leftovers, or anything at all? But then there's Abel, who brought the firstborn of his flock. It said the firstborn of his flock. And God wants to raise up a generation. God wants to raise up a generation. Church, I must say it again. God wants to raise up a generation like he has already done, that says, I'm sick of the lies. I want truth. I want God in the center of my life and in my family. God wants us to be a family of people who hold him at the top of their list, not a leftover. Not third choice, not second choice. Not every once in a while, but where we say, God, I surrender it all to you. Look at verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother, his blood cries. What saddens me when I read the scripture, there are people all over this world whose blood is crying right now. The voice of your brother cries out to me from the ground. Church, I want to tell you this morning, the devil wants to destroy your seed, but let me tell you something else. We need to teach our seeds to understand truth. Here, God is talking to Cain, and Cain is lying to God. Parents, I want to encourage you, don't let a lie slip. Teach your kids to understand truth, to know truth. That lying is important. We don't want to lie. We need to understand the truth, how to tell the truth, how to recognize the truth. I watch this culture today who can't even recognize the truth. We need to teach our kids we can't go through life because we view it a certain way, and that makes it truth. That does not make it truth. I'm going to tell you what truth is. You can take these words to the bank. There is only one truth that will never fail, that will never leave in spite of this crazy world. You can tell your kids that Jesus Christ is the truth. Nothing but the truth. He says, I am the way, the life, and the truth. And no man comes to the Father except through me. Hallelujah. Church, this morning, there might be some people listening in right now. And maybe you don't know where your grandkids are. Maybe you're a child. Maybe you're a teenager and you're praying for your parents. We're going to take this time right now. We're going to sing out that chorus again. Oh, the overwhelming love of God. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. But yet you still give your love away. Oh, the overwhelming never-ending love of God. Sing this chorus with us, church. As we take this time to pray, to seek the Father, to pray for those who are on your heart, to reach out to those who are in need of salvation. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And though it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, a lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
There's no shadow.
There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Father, I just want to pray right now a blessing upon our church. I want to pray a blessing upon the families in our church. God, who are just maybe barely making it, who are doing well, who are maybe struggling, hurting. Lord, you know the needs. You know what they need. And I pray, God, a blessing upon each and every one of them right now. Protection upon them, their children, their brothers and sisters. God, the enemy is seeking to destroy this generation, but Lord, we are asking you by faith that you will raise up men and women who are called by your gospel to go and proclaim the word of truth with boldness and a confidence that only comes from you, God. And God, we are praying, God, that you would raise up a generation in our church, God, in our city, in this family, to proclaim truth, no matter the age. There are parents here who have children who are 40 years old. Reach to them, God, right now. Speak to them right now. There are children who are just born, who are going to be born. You know who they are, Lord. I pray a blessing and a covering upon each and every one of them right now. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Oh, ah. There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up. There's no wall you won't kick down,
lie you won't tear down.
Church, we serve a good God, amen. I want to say again, I miss you all. I can't wait to see you in person again. Again, if there's anything you need, let us know. We are here for you. I want to read one last quote before we end. This quote's by John Machen. The most important Christian education institution is not the pulpit or the school. The most important Christian education institution is not the pulpit or the school. Important as those institutions are, but it is the Christian family. It is the family. It starts at home. Again, church, join us next week. The family series. Have a blessed Sunday. Thank you and amen.
On high, He is the Lord, spoke into the darkness, creating the light. He is the Lord, who is like unto Him.
Church, we just want to thank you again for joining us this week on our podcast. Church, as we move forward this week, after hearing this message from Pastor, my prayer for each and every one of you this week, as we put God at the forefront, as we put God at the head of our household, as we as husbands and wives strengthen our walk and grow closer to God, we grow closer to each other. And Father, I want to lift up all of the men, all of the husbands, all of the fathers in this church today, Lord. As Pastor just a couple of weeks ago, as he reminded us, suit up, they're coming. I just pray for each of the men in our church. Put on the armor of God. Be prepared, because the enemy doesn't wait. The enemy attacks when your guard is down. Father, I just pray for each of these men. I pray for strength for them. I pray that they protect their wives, that they protect their children, that they protect their families, Lord God. And Father, myself as a father, my prayer, Lord, is that when we are dealing with our children, because those times, they come up where we have to correct our children, my prayer is that instead of doing it out of anger, that we do it out of love, that we do it out of grace, the same grace that you show us, Lord. Let it be a learning experience for our children. Let our children see you through us. Father, we ask this in your mighty name, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. Folks, again, we thank you so much for joining us. We're looking forward to seeing all of you tomorrow night, Monday night at 9 o'clock on our Zoom prayer meeting. And teens, don't forget, this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Keep your eyes open. We'll have the emails being sent out with those Zoom links. We thank you. Pray that you have a blessed week. We'll see you next week.